Jesus said, "No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Amen. Please be seated. Many people, including myself, love the Gospel of Luke because it is full of vivid stories and parables of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to live in and for the kingdom of God. But in these stories and parables, Jesus packs punches and he does not hold back. You often get statements like, "You cannot serve both God and money." All of the most famous statements of Jesus that we hear in society come from the Gospel of Luke, which makes Luke for us both at the same time interesting and challenging reading. Life is full of what I would call icebreaker questions. Anytime you go to a new group or a conference or are sitting at a table with people you don't know, you get asked these questions. You all know what kind of questions I mean. Questions like, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go? How many times have you been on an airplane? One of the most common questions asked like this is, if you won the lottery, what would you do with the money? I don't need your answers now. People give various answers to this question. Many people say they would travel. Many say they would give the money to charity. I'll give you our number. Pay all of their friends and their family's debts. We have all heard the standard answers to this question. There are even TV shows like How the Lottery Changed My Life, or My Lottery Dream Home. The reason that we all know the answers to this question and hear it out there is because we live in a society that is obsessed with money and the prospect of becoming rich without any work. Now, we probably would all like to win the lottery. You often hear people say money can't buy happiness, and I always say to them, well, I'd sure like to find that out for my own. But we live in a society that is all about money. But the reality is, it might be better for us not to win the lottery. I did some research preparing for this sermon, and according to various studies, about 70% of people who come into a large amount of money will lose it and will go broke within the first 3 years of getting the cash. I had heard before that many people went broke a few years after winning the lottery, but I had no idea that the number was so high. Not only do most people go broke by winning the lottery, but it also causes them various other marital and family issues and a whole host of other problems. So why do most people who have won the lottery go broke within the first few years of winning a large amount of cash? It seems to me in reading about all their stories, it is not because they don't have good intentions about what to do with their money, but rather they are bad stewards of their money. They are bad managers of it, and much of it goes to waste. But it should come as no surprise to us that people who win the lottery are bad stewards, because we are all bad stewards. We live in a society of bad stewards. On the whole, as a society, we waste money, we waste time, we waste resources, and to what end? Being bad stewards of these things really doesn't get us anywhere. In fact, it does quite the opposite. It makes most people miserable and causes problems in our society. Today in our reading from the Gospel, we have one of Jesus' very famous parables, and it focuses clearly on money and stewardship. In this parable of the shrewd manager, as it is often called, Jesus is talking directly to his disciples, and therefore he's talking to all of us, his followers. The parable unfolds as follows. There is a rich man who had a manager to manage all of his finances and affairs. The rich man notices that his manager had not been a good steward, and in fact has squandered his property. So the rich man sends for his manager, and he confronts him about the issue, and he demands that he get a full accounting of what has gone on. And after such an accounting, he fires the manager. Now the manager, realizing that this is going to be his plight, and that he's not fit to do any other kind of work, comes up with a plan to make people who owe the rich man happy, so that when he is no longer the manager, they will welcome him into their homes and take care of him. It sounds like he's going to couch surf for the rest of his life in the Gospel. He's going to go from home to home, and people will take him in. So this seems like a good plan. So he calls all the people together who owe his master money, and he lessens their debt, and they are happy about that. And so he is hopeful that he will be taken care of when he soon hits hard times. But then the story has a twist. The master comes back, and he commends the manager for being so shrewd and for making friends for himself. The manager, although being commended by his master, has actually done two things very wrong. First off, he has been a bad steward of the responsibility given to him by his master. And secondly, he proves to be a person who is unjust. He gives much of his master's money away, money that is not his. This leaves us to ask the question, what is really going on in this parable, and what is it actually about? This is a very confusing parable because it seems on the one hand the man has done something good, and on the other hand, he has done something wrong. The whole crux of this parable to me revolves around Jesus saying this, "For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes." So why is this crux? Why is this the crux of the parable? Jesus is saying this unjust manager was very shrewd in dealing with someone else's money, and in money in general, in this way. But he is not as wise as he thinks. He is thinking about worldly things when he should be thinking about spiritual things. He is bought into this narrative that this world is about money, but we are to use the resources that we have been given for something else. We are to use it to the glory of God. We are to use it to make a difference in this world, to extend God's kingdom in the here and now. We as the church are called to freely give in order to help the poor, the most vulnerable, the naked, the hungry, and to extend God's kingdom in the here and now, rather than focus on wealth and store things up for ourselves, because at the end of time, it won't matter at all. Nothing you store up in this world is coming with you. Then Jesus says the dishonest manager was shrewd, and it's a good thing that he was worldly, so that he would be taken care of in this world, because he will have no eternal home, because how he managed what was given to him. This could be a topic for a whole other sermon, so we won't get into that. But what is stewardship really? What is Jesus talking about? This is one of those topics that church leaders and clergy stay away from because most people think that it's just about money. Now, this is a very real aspect of stewardship, but the Christian concept of stewardship is about so much more than just asking for money. And by just limiting it to this, we are missing out on a whole section of Jesus' teaching and what it means to be a human person living on this planet in relationship to their Creator. Stewardship is ultimately about how we respond to God's grace and His blessings towards us, how we respond to the good things and blessings in our life that God has given us to be custodians of. What the parable of Jesus is saying today is this. We have two choices. We can use everything that God has given us to further our own position in this world, or we can use what we are given to help others. We can store it up for ourselves, we can be shrewd managers, or we can extend His kingdom here in this world. We can be worldly, or we can be otherworldly. But it's important to remember this, that everything that we are and everything that we have comes from God. In talking about money and talking about material possessions, we use the word "our," but it really is not ours at all. It is God, and that is something that we must always keep in mind. Everything that we have comes from God, because everything has been given to us by God, and we are called to be responsible for what God has given to us, and that is our choice today. That is why it is so important that we use whatever we have correctly, and to God's ends and not our own, because it is God's possessions and not ours. Has anybody seen the new Downton Abbey movie? Who's going to see the new Downton Abbey movie? Look at Pip is going. I'm going to go too. There we go. And Jen is going. We'll all go together. When I was in seminary just when Downton Abbey was coming out. And every Sunday night, all of us would gather in a little common room, guys and girls alike, and we would watch Downton Abbey. Even when Sarah and I would first start dating, she would say, oh, let's go do this Sunday night. And I would say, I can't, I can't. And at first I didn't give her an excuse, but it was because we all gathered to watch Downton Abbey together. That's what we did, the third floor of Wycliffe College. We all gathered to watch Downton Abbey together every Sunday night. And now if you know anything about Downton Abbey, you know it is about an English lord and lady who live in this grand estate and they take care of it. But the one underlying theme of the whole show is that they have to struggle to keep this great house going. But the underlying theme of the whole show is this, is that they know it is not their house. They know they are custodians of it for the people who live there. They know that they are not the sole owners of it, that it has been given to them, and that it is their duty to be good custodians or good stewards of what has been given to them. And that is what we are called to do too. God has given us things in our own life, and we are called to be good stewards of it. So in Downton Abbey, a major plot line is many of these old families are going broke and having to sell their big manor houses because they've been bad stewards of the finances that have been given to them. And so in Downton Abbey, the family struggles to keep the house going, to keep it open for the people who live on the land, because they know they are stewards of that land and that it is not solely theirs. They try to be responsible. And of course, it's a drama, so they're not always responsible. But they try to be responsible. And that's what we have going in our gospel for today. God has given all of us wealth and finances and material possessions, families, friends. Everything we have comes from God. And we have a choice. We can be good stewards of it, or we can be shrewd managers of it. We can use it to gain wealth for ourselves in this world now, or we can use it to extend God's kingdom and build something else for ourselves in the next world, in our eternal homes. I was very glad that this ended up being BCP Sunday. We had to do a switch. It's usually on the fifth Sunday, but we have a baptism next week, an adult baptism. So everybody come and celebrate with a young lady who's getting baptized and wants to become a Christian. But today we're in the BCP. And so we have a special prayer in the BCP that's only used in the BCP, and it has been lost in the Green Book in the BAS. So when we take the offering in the church, we bring it to the front and we pray over it every week. And in the BAS, it's always a different prayer. But in the BCP, it's the same prayer every week. And it's this prayer on page 74, if you have your prayer book there. The money comes up and the priest says, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." And this is exactly what's going on in this prayer. We give our offering in the plate as an act of worship to God. Everything that we have comes from God, and we're giving it back to him. That prayer again, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of our own do we give thee." That is a recognition that everything that we have is God's. It is not ours, and we are called to be managers of it. So Jesus offers us a stark choice today. We can either use it to build up our own glory, the glory of humanity, or we can use it to build something new, a new kingdom where everyone is taken care of and where Christ is king. So let that be our prayer this day. All things come of thee, and of our own have we given thee. Amen.